part by a grant from Birkenstock Concepts by Heel to Toe in downtown Urbana. For over 25 years, offering all sizes and widths of Birkenstocks, from clogs and sandals to work, dress, and sport shoes. Birkenstock Concepts offers repair and modification services and a certified podorthist and orthotist on staff.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm are with us this afternoon. They join us on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs, dog care, training, and behavior. They are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign, Urbana, and they're here to take your telephone calls this afternoon. Phone lines are open. Here are the telephone numbers in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Welcome back. Good to see you.
Happy 4th of July, Celeste.
Well, happy Independence Day to you as well. Coming up on Sunday. Any big plans?
Family reunion for me.
Uh-huh.
We're leaving in the morning. Mm-hmm. And Robbie's on his way to his own bed and breakfast this afternoon.
Yeah.
He can't go with us, unfortunately. And then we should be back Sunday. Time for all the festivities.
Yeah. And out at Poker Flats?
I'm going to clean the barn, chop down the cockle burr, take a bath. It's the beginning of the month, first weekend of the month.
Don't forget to take your heartworm pill,
whether
too.
I need it or not. I have an interesting story. What's that, Jim? So the bathroom television, you know, the one we watch when we're taking a bath.
I don't know anyone that has a television in the
bathroom. We don't now either, because it went like that and stopped working. Of course, Robin was turning it on at the time.
He's blaming it on her.
But in any event, well, machines don't like her. So I put it in the back of my Tercel to take to have it fixed. Mm-hmm. And being the forgetful fellow that I am, I forgot to take it in. So 2 weeks ago, Saturday, it just sat there, and the weather turned warm, and the sun came out, and I went around noon on Saturday to get something out of the car, and there was the TV that I'd forgotten, and the case had melted. And I said, if ever you needed proof that you shouldn't leave your dog in a car... Here it is. The TV melted.
Don't leave the TV in there either.
Well,
a couple of lessons here.
I'm not sure it could have been fixed, but now it can't.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, that is a good point, though, because it hasn't been that hot. It wasn't
It wasn't that hot.
It was just the sun.
It was just in the sun, and it just
got
hot.
How could you forget it was in your car for 2 weeks?
It was only a day I forgot. It was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I see. I wasn't paying close attention to the story.
If you had, I would have been surprised.
Oh.
I have another story.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So in The Wild One, Marlon Brando is part of Hell's Rebels, and somebody asks him, what are you rebelling against? And he says, what have you got?
Right.
So I'm in high school, and I forgot the exact thing going on, but one of the teachers said to me, what are you rebelling against? And I said, what have you got? And the teacher said, you kids shouldn't be allowed to watch those movies.
You know, that's interesting. I saw that in school.
Oh,
in high school.
Is this because Marlon Brando died? Did this conjure up this
No,
memory?
Yes. We were telling Marlon Brando stories at the office, and that was mine. You kids shouldn't be allowed to watch those movies. If that teacher had seen the movies kids watch today, my goodness.
Mm. Well, that killed that topic.
Yeah, pretty
much
exhausted it.
Last weekend was a great weekend here in our community because we had
the
dog show.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was vintage vinyl.
There were a lot of things last weekend, but the dog show was last weekend. We were blessed with beautiful weather, sunny skies, cool temperatures. I got ribbons. They weren't blue. But I'm not picky. If I can get a ribbon, I was very happy.
So what kind of ribbons did you get?
We had two yellows and a white one. So he got third and fourth and third. Uh-huh. But I was, and there were more than four dogs in his class. So that just made me very happy.
Well, very good. Yes. Well, congratulations.
Yes.
You know, you mentioned earlier that you're going to send Robbie off to the
bed and breakfast.
After the show this afternoon. Mm-hmm. And this is something that's been on my mind lately. And maybe some of our listeners would have some advice about this, too. How to pick a kennel, how to get your dog attuned to going to the, quote, bed and breakfast.
And doesn't that sound better than kennel, bed and breakfast?
And when does a dog sitter make sense, and what kind of arrangement should you have with the dog sitter? Because there's a dog issue in our neighborhood where the people are on vacation and the dog is not being paid enough attention. Mm-hmm. And it's very upsetting.
Is he an outside dog?
No.
No. Well, what I would do when your neighbors come back, I would let them know what happened while they were gone, because they have no way of knowing otherwise.
Mom, you can't do this anymore.
Yeah. I always tell my classes, because I usually have the younger dogs, that it's really smart. It's a little bit of an expense to board your dog for one night and then just go pick it
for
up
no
the next
reason.
Day. For no reason at all. Because if you should find yourself in a position of going on 2 weeks vacation, the dog's never been boarded, and you take him somewhere when he's 2 weeks, it's not really quite fair for them to understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. So just boarding them overnight, even at your vet's office, you want just to get them accustomed to being away from you overnight.
Not only that, and I don't mean to alarm anybody, so sit down, have a cup of Joe. But a lot of dogs, when they're left in a kennel, become very, very stressed. Mm-hmm. And they stop eating, mm-hmm. and they're more subject to illness. And people come back and go, what have you done to my dog? You know, when in fact the kennel hasn't done anything bad to the dog. And by leaving it overnight when you're around, if the animal's in any distress or gets ill, you're there. You know, it's not like you come back
dog, too, knows that you're going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you've abandoned him. Especially, I think that this you might find this problem more prevalent in dogs that come from shelters where they have
anthropomorphic.
Anthropomorphic. I always felt that a dog that's been abandoned or lost or given up, they never really forget that. And this is just my own opinion. So if you have a dog that you acquired through those means, sometimes they tend to be a little bit insecure when they find themselves in a similar environment, not knowing that you're going to come back to get them. So that's why it's beneficial to just do it overnight. I was talking to a friend this week, and she's got a dog sitter, but she's got multiple dogs. And she's got somebody that actually comes in and lives at the house, as opposed to coming by two or three times a day. That wouldn't necessarily work well for me, because Robbie goes out to where he was bred. So that he loves it. It's great for him. Mm. And they do boarding, too, on a small basis. And then as far as choosing a kennel, it's good to just go out there, you know, prior to the time you need them, and ask for a tour. And they should be very, very cooperative, because they want your business. So you shouldn't feel that they should be defensive. Ask for a tour, see how clean the place is, what kind of facility they've got. Do they have access to the outdoors? Do they have interaction with the staff? And that's that. Mm-hmm. And we don't have a whole lot of boarding kennels here in this community, so... Yeah. That'd be a good business, you know that?
I have a friend, some friends out east that have a boarding business, and they'd be making a lot of money off of it. They had 100 runs, I think.
Wow.
They're up to 200 runs, and this is in New Hampshire. Some major national chain kind of dog kennels have moved in, and it hasn't hurt their business at all. Mm. And New Hampshire isn't the biggest state in the world. Phone call.
Let's talk with a listener.
The internationally recognized sign for phone call.
Pinky and thumb held up to one's face. Okay, let's talk with our listener in Aurora on line 4. Good afternoon.
Yeah, I'm sorry to say that I have a very difficult phone call. I'm in a quandary. My dog has nodular episcleritis or conjunctivitis, since February 6th, I've been treating him. I've spent over $1,500, I'm sure. And the vet is saying he's had two specialists look at him from the U of I. And the medications, he's supposed to be on two medications, and one is very, very strong, and the one he's been on before, and it causes him high urination and drinking of a lot of water, and so high urination. I'm at a quandary as to what to do, because the treatment will be for 4 months, and it can recur. And I'm in a terrible, desperate dilemma. I have done much about it. I don't know if there are any answers anyplace else. I've, you know, as I say, I've spent a lot of money and time since February 6th. I don't know if you have any words, and I think the thing that bothers me the most is that it will reoccur. Are you saying anything?
No, we're just, this is a Cocker Spaniel, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, Cocker, I remember when you got the dog. I remember you called in before. I'm not.
He's been a great dog. He was kept at the animal welfare, you know, at the shelter, for quite a few months, and when I got him, he had a lot of emotional problems. He still has some, but the vet that sees him now and had seen him with his previous owner, she can't believe how much he's worked out of a lot of his problems, but he gets a lot of TLC. I work with him every day. I was hoping that since this is a problem with his immune system not working, maybe if he got a lot of TLC, he would, you know, there would be a miracle and he'd get out of it, the illness. But I think the thing that bothers me is that he will have recurrences of it, and I really don't know what to do. I've spent time and money and energy on him, and I just don't know what to do, and I suppose I just called up because, I don't know, I guess since you work with animals, I thought you would listen anyway.
Well, you know, it's so beneficial for you to talk about it. And talking about it without getting any answers can sometimes help you develop the answer yourself. Because no one can tell you exactly what it is you need to do. You need to decide that with you and your dog. Even your veterinarian won't tell you what to do.
No. I wrote out a list of 10 questions and got answers to some of them. There's no alternative treatment, and this is common, especially in cockers. And the thing, like I said for the third time now, the fact that it will reoccur, that just, you know, gets me kind of down about it.
Mm-hmm. How old is this dog?
He's 8 now. I've had him for 4 years.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful watchdog, and that's why I got him. He's so, when I give him the drops, I just call him in the bathroom for his eye drops twice a day, two medications. And he just comes in and sits there, and I do it, and no problems. He's very good about taking his medications. Well, I'll let somebody else talk, and thank you for listening.
Thanks for the call.
Tough. Yeah, that is a tough one. There's no answer.
No easy.
But sometimes it is extremely important that people talk about these things, just to help them get through it. Do not keep it bottled up. Just talk about it and take each day as it comes.
Mm.
You know, they say that you'll know when the time comes, but you really don't. You don't. You think you're doing the right thing. You hope you are. Mm. And usually that is the way it works out.
Yeah. Well, maybe somebody else would join us this afternoon and have some ideas. I don't know. You know, it is. It's very individual, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people's tolerance for what they have to do and how much money they have to spend and the prognosis, they're all different. Everyone's mm-hmm. different. So it's a very unique situation that you're faced with.
Yeah, yeah.
People go to extraordinary lengths beyond where it's to the enrichment of life for the animal because they can't say goodbye.
Yeah. Very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I faced a tough problem a number of years ago with a cat that had cancer. And, you know, you get a couple of opinions and they're different and you have to live with it for a while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's the downside of having a companion animal.
Yeah. Let's talk with another listener here this afternoon in Champaign, line one. Hi.
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 I would like to take your subject just one step further. There's something that gets neglected in a lot of cases where people are dealing with having to part with a loved pet, and that is grief counseling that they should have available to them. It would be nice if you could sort of give that a little bit of a whirl in your talking on this subject, because it is a very, very difficult and very, very important subject for those of us who love our animals.
They had anticipatory grief counseling, which is kind of remarkable in and of itself.
Who did?
It was Provena Hospital had, and I don't know if they still do, so I'm going to assume that they do have grief counseling in place.
For pets?
Mm-hmm. Which I thought was very good. But it was anticipatory grief, which is a big part of it. I mean, it's not having your dog hit by a car. It's knowing for weeks and months that you're going to lose them and have somebody help you develop the skills, the coping skills that you're going to need. The University of Illinois has grief counseling. The students perform that service, and you call. And it's in the phone book. You call. Do you have that in your PDA?
I'm looking.
I think you might. You call, and they'll return your call and talk to you. And any social counselor can talk to you, too.
I think it's very important to note that this is a subject that is just now beginning to really be addressed by the veterinary schools and the veterinarians around 20 years ago, 30 years ago. They just said, well, just put them on the table and goodbye. If you get another pet, come and see me. But that doesn't usually obtain anymore. Veterinarians have learned a lot of sympathy and empathy ways of dealing with this sort of problem, which as we get older, there are more of us having to say goodbye.
They did have a grief counselor on staff, and she came. She spoke to us last fall at the dog training club. Mm-hmm. I invited her to speak, and I was so surprised because at that particular time last fall, it seemed like we'd had many members that had lost pets, and I had people that were afraid to come. They were afraid to come because they didn't want to cry. They didn't want to lose their composure in front of us. They didn't want to hear what she had to say because it hurts.
Well, that's the first thing you've got to get over, is knowing that it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're a male, it's okay.
Nuh-uh.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. What do you want to do, have a heart attack?
What, is that the choice?
No, but it would get you out of the situation.
Last year when she spoke, I think at that time we had lost three dogs.
Yeah, you were one of the ones that I thought would benefit.
And within a year...
No. I'll let you guys go on with this, and I'll hang up.
Thank you, okay. Susan. Suzanne, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's terrible. And what we've done at our club is really very nice, and this was the idea of two of our members that lost dogs close together, Carol and Lisa. But we have a rainbow bridge plaque, and it's a beautiful wooden plaque, and it has got the rainbow bridge. This is very difficult to talk about.
You're doing very well.
I don't think so. But for each member that loses a dog, then they make a donation and they get their name on the plaque.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have plantings out in the our grounds. So it's really nice. But because you have to recognize it.
Sure.
You can't pretend it didn't happen.
Nope. It does. It It does. It hurts. So did you go to this, to the meeting to hear?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. And you found it worthwhile?
There was a group. She didn't give individual counseling. Or
right.
Anything.
No. Mm-mm.
She just talked about the issues that...
Her job.
I was the only one. Well, I wasn't the only one. I started asking questions, as
yeah.
I recall.
Well,
are there any questions? Very quiet, very quiet. Yeah. And Jim says, I've got a question. But I forgot what it was. I'm sure it was a penetrating question, though.
Yeah, she's no longer there, but they do have some kind of support group.
She
there.
Left quickly.
Well, her husband was, she was married to a veterinarian, and he moved elsewhere, did something. I don't know, but she followed him, which I guess... She should.
You can always get a new husband. A good grief counselor is hard to find.
That's a very. They have that room. I remember having going to that room over at Vet Med. You know, they break the news to you, and it's, oh God. Oh, that's a tough time. Tough time. So.
Yes, I've been in that room a couple times.
Yeah,
I have a story I wanted to share that Mike Sola passed on. To us, and it was in the news this week, and I think it was last night on television I saw it. It's a wonderful story. It's a story about this little girl. She wandered away from her home, and she was found. She was being protected by the Labrador Retriever, the family dog, and she wandered close to the Ohio River.
They found her on the banks of the river.
Yes,
the banks of the Ohio.
And Daisy Smith.
Dog's name was
okay.
Thunder, I think.
Thunder. So Daisy was missing, Thunder's missing, and they were found together.
Yes, I saw the story on TV this morning, too, and I was just, the little girl was so cute, and the dog was so cute, and then the mother, the wife, said she didn't like the dog and was going to get rid of it, but now she guess she'll keep it.
I do. The story
I wanted
saw,
to throw my toast at the TV. It made me mad.
Well... At first, Thunder was very protective, I guess. She didn't want the rescuers to get close to the baby.
They had the one of the rescuers on this morning, and he said that he followed the dog's paw prints.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, and the dog came running out to meet him and was barking. And I think that, well, the way he relayed the story, the dog was barking and wanted him to follow. But his barking may then, too, have been misinterpreted, don't come any further. But it was a great story. I hope they give that dog a really nice home.
Really? Really. Well, let's talk with another listener. Caller in Champaign, line one. Hi.
Hi. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. This is my first time hearing the show. I'm usually at work, but it's a great day to have a vacation day and hear the show.
Good.
I have probably one of those classic questions, but since I've never heard the answer, I'm going to ask it. We have an older, very wise dog who we now need to give several rounds of medications. She's doing really well for a 15-year-old girl, but she seems to be ever so smart about figuring out all the different things we have tried to get her these pills. And two of them are capsules, and one is a flavored pill that she's supposed to just take, you know, because it tastes like liver sausage or something. So the flavored pill is sort of still going, but the two capsules are not. And we've tried the peanut butter and the liver sausage and the sticking it in cheese and numerous other things. And she's gotten so good at feeling it, is my theory. She feels it with her tongue. And maybe it doesn't have the greatest flavor. She might have bit it once, but she can spit those things out and find them like a detective. So what kinds of ideas, beyond the peanut butter and the liver sausage and the cheese, you guys propose?
I think we're in agreement here.
Okay.
It's
just give her the pill.
You get it, come up behind her. How is it, a big dog?
35 pounds, not huge.
And you want to make sure she doesn't bite you.
All right. I doubt she would bite anybody. But
well,
okay.
So
wait, start from the beginning. We're going up behind her.
Yeah, just to get an angle. And you reach down and... You get your fingers. The dogs have gaps in their teeth.
Okay.
And get a finger or two in those gaps.
Is it towards the back of her mouth? I take.
Kind of the middle.
The middle.
Yeah, in the middle of the nose there.
Okay. I'm thinking about this.
And you pull up, and the dog's mouth opens. And
so you're trying to put your hands under her jaw, or
in her mouth.
In her mouth, and in the gaps on the top of her teeth, the top part. What's it called? The upper jaw.
Right, but what I'm wondering is, how is your hand approaching her?
Hold your left hand out while we're talking.
Well, how about my right hand? Okay.
Either hand.
Well, I'm right-handed. Hold either hand out and then pretend that that top of your hand is the top of your dog's muzzle.
Gotcha.
Okay, then put your other hand over it.
Over the same hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, now, so now you've got your hand over the top of the muzzle.
A point being made here is that, see, I have Malamutes. I could never get my hand over their nose.
Okay.
So I just come in on one side, but you might be able to get
your
thumb on
yeah,
one
she's
side.
Too. She's, yeah.
And you just
fall down because she doesn't want us to do this, but she won't bite us.
Without doing it as a jerk because you don't want to hurt her, but you just kind of pull open her mouth. And this all has to be done fairly quickly. And with the other hand, with the pills in it, you take them and you push them as far down her throat as you can get them. Don't worry that she's going to gag. And you'll have, if you don't have an assistant, you want an assistant who has liver or anything, who, as soon as you do this, gives the liver to the dog or the cookie or whatever. And the dog will go, oh, boy. And start eating it, and that'll get the pills down. It's taken me years because it's so disgusting.
It's not disgusting.
It's disgusting.
Sure your nails are short.
Yeah. Well, the trouble that also this presents is I think I could do this because I'm the scientist side of, you know, personalities, but I'm calling for an 85-year-old who's taking care of the 15-year-old dog, and I really doubt that he would have the sort of oomph.
You know what?
Oh, it's hurting her.
Yeah, try cream cheese.
We've tried cream cheese. But I mean,
cream cheese really works pretty good.
I don't know, we'll try cream cheese. Any other foods besides peanut butter?
No. Well, if you're having that kind of problems, the vet will have tubes, and you can kind of do the same thing,
but with a little less. Kind of
well,
physical.
No, you still have to put it down her throat.
You still have to get it in
the
her,
tube down her throat.
Her
so.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't actually go down her throat, but it goes way in the back.
Yeah. And then it's hard to
I,
get it back
I know out. Several 85-year-old people, and I think they could do this. I don't think it would be a problem.
I'm not saying he couldn't.
No, I mean just grab it, open the mouth, stick it in.
She thinks he's afraid he's hurting her. Can I have a Kleenex?
Sure.
All right. So that's
No. If you would demonstrate it, I think he would see you're not hurting the dog at all.
Yeah, and I like the whole idea of the contraption. That's something we haven't asked for, so maybe we need to ask for that.
Yeah.
To me, the
contraption is more trouble than it's worth. You just grab the dog, stick it in,
and
it's done. And you do it before the dog has any chance to protest, you know.
Now, good luck the next day.
Yeah, right.
That's why you come up from behind.
All right. Well, thanks for the description. We'll see if one of the three of us adults can get up the.
It's just so icky. You get your hands covered with dog spit.
Icky.
You got dogs. Ooh.
I don't really mind all that part. It doesn't matter. I do believe she is incredibly aware of these pills, and she's.
Oh yeah, we've got
really. Really, I'm not so sure I could get it back far enough where she can go and get it back.
Oh, nice description.
No, that's the thing. You got to really put it far down.
Try cream cheese. I'm not kidding.
I'm going to try it.
Yeah. Susie cream cheese.
All right, thanks so much for the show.
Good luck. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll free, 800-222-9455. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana are here with us this afternoon. They join us on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs. You know, when I was a kid and had to give my Weimaraner medicine, it was the same kind of deal. Get her sitting down and have your thighs up against, like, her back a little bit, and then you would do just exactly as you said, Carol. Open the mouth, put the pill in, and then stroke
the throat. I always did it from the front. I never came up from behind.
And then you're right, absolutely. Something that the dog really loves, like a liver snap or whatever. So,
I was just thinking, my friend and I were on a garden walk Sundays ago, and we're standing there discussing the fine points of some hosta or something. This woman turns to me and she goes, "Are you the dog woman?" Dog woman.
And you said, "Arf."
And I said, "Yes." She goes, "I could tell by your voice." And then I laughed, and she goes, "And I could tell by your laugh." So we've got a huge audience out there, Jim, of which we are totally unaware.
Or we have a very small audience that likes dogs and flowers.
Well, what do you say we talk with some of these other members of the audience? So we're going to go next to Indianapolis, a caller on the toll-free line, line 4. Good afternoon.
Hi, I just wanted to offer a suggestion on getting a pill down a dog.
Mm-hmm.
We have found at our house that it is infallible if you use butter.
Oh.
A big old glob of butter. I think maybe it's so slippery that they love it, of course, and then they can't get the pill out so fast, and boom, it's gone before they realize.
At a dollar a stick, I think I'd go to margarine.
Well, I'll take margarine.
Yeah.
You just dip, kind of dip it in the butter and get a big glob.
Yeah.
And it's more slippery, too. That's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then do the rub-the-throat thing after the butter's in there. And I might know the phrase, buttered pill, now.
Ah,
good idea.
So,
I never dreamed of butter.
A tablespoon of butter helps and the medicine go down.
I had one that would get it out of the middle of an entire hamburger.
They can find it.
We've got a dog now that he bloated, and he's getting antibiotics for after surgery, and he can, he's get a big dish of food, and the green pills are always at the bottom. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he does it.
Well, now even when we have something really good that's a pill, we have to have butter afterward anyway. They think it comes with the pill.
Well, thanks for the tip.
Uh-huh.
That's nice. A good idea.
It is a good idea.
Let's talk with another listener, also in the Hoosier State, line 2. Go ahead.
Oh.
Hi.
I think I'm grasping for straws, but I've got to ask just to make sure that I've asked the question. I have a large dog that lives next door to me, and I have a fence that's about 3.5-4 feet tall, runs the length of the yard to separate the 2 yards. And last winter, I discovered near the end of the winter that the dog next door likes to jump up on my fence with his paws on it and, full extension, and bark at whatever he's barking at. And eventually he pulled the fence down. He did enough times to weaken the wire. And I asked the people, and I said, I understand, this is a natural instinct, blah, blah, blah. And they moved the dog, which was nice. Now they've moved him back. And so I'm sort of going to get ready for what problems I'm going to have domestically at the beginning of the fall when the grapevine leaves go and all I got left is, vines and the fence again. And I was wondering, I don't think you can just go up and hit a dog in the nose and that's the end of it. And he's not going to ever jump up on your fence, but I thought there might be some other more humane way that I can do something. And in terms of the people, they're not very cooperative.
Well, sir, you have a person problem and not a dog problem.
Yeah.
Well, here's what you do. Okay, yeah, Carol's right. But in terms of the dog, if you can get some dog food in the little pellets, dry food, and show it to the dog, and then throw it in their yard.
I see.
He will spend the rest of the afternoon trying to find those little individual pellets.
And then come back for more.
But
that's a good idea.
He'll never find them all,
But it's not the dog's fault.
No.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a nice dog, but when a squirrel shows up or whatever, he forgets,
sure.
In a sense that I'm a friend and I don't, he doesn't obey me, that's for sure. I don't think he obeys him too much. I don't really think they care too much. A dog's a dog and a man's a man kind of situation.
Did they repair the fence for you?
No. They said they had no proof, I saw him in the middle of the night once standing up on it,
Oh, they leave him out at night?
Oh, yeah. He's not taken indoors too much. He's a big dog.
Well, so?
And maybe more of the personal problem, but that's just the way life is.
Yeah,
I thought there might be something. I'll probably give that a try.
Yeah, and it can be cheap dog food. I mean, it's not like you spend a lot of money and just get 5 pounds.
No, don't worry about that.
Right, exactly.
It'll be a Walmart special.
Exactly, but you throw it, maybe a couple, and just scatter it as far and as wide as you can. And that's also a kind of a tip for people who don't want their dogs digging in their backyards.
Yeah.
He'll spend the day trying to find each individual kibble.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
Sure.
Okay. Next, we talk with a listener in Champaign, line 1. Hi.
Hi. My wife has 2 teacup poodles, and for reasons I can never figure out, the smaller of the two, they're about 2.5 years old, is just terrified of me. He barks at me all the time. We have, I walk into, or I'm 2 rooms away, and I shift in a chair, and he just goes ballistic barking. And we can't figure out what to do to try to make him comfortable around me.
Hmm. Have you been kicking him? Or?
No. It's been hinting at times.
Nothing obvious, huh?
Well, why don't you take him for a walk?
Yeah, he spends all of his time trying to either run away from me or having to literally drag him because he refuses to move.
That must not be a pretty picture walking down the street.
Before we get to the real solution, do you wear perfumes or...
No.
Do you shave?
Occasionally. I have a beard.
Yeah. There's problem number one.
What, his beard?
Yeah, Taka. You didn't know Taka. Taka used to hate men with beards. I don't know why.
Well, we should ask a little more than about his beard.
Like, well, were you, no.
Well, I want to know.
What, do you think that was a random question?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Do you shave? Did you and your wife acquire these dogs at the same time and were you already together?
Yes.
Well, that shoots that theory. I thought maybe...
And we have two small children, and the dogs have always been fine with the children. Mm-hmm. And it's not just me. It's pretty well any male that comes
there
to the house or any tall female.
Mm-hmm. Here's what you do.
Women with beards, don't let them in.
Tall women with beards.
Tall women. Short ones are okay.
What I would do is let's call them A and B,
okay,
unless they have names. A is a friendly one, B isn't.
Mm-hmm.
In front of B, the unfriendly dog, pick up A and just say, you are the most fabulous dog I've ever seen, and pet it and give it food and just do all that stuff. And this isn't going to work in 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep doing it, keep doing it. And eventually, if this works, B will come over and want some of this action too. And you just ignore B. Say, get out of here. I'm having fun with A. A is my friend. And just keep doing that. And about the third or fourth time B comes up, throw a scrap or something like that. But the key is in front of you, just make over, oh, what a fabulous dog this is. I really love this dog. That's going to show the dog a couple things. One, you're not all that bad a guy. The other dog's getting all the attention, and we hope, are these dogs related?
No.
We hope that it'll become jealous. Otherwise, there's not a lot you can do. 2 years old, I would guess that over time that will diminish, unless this other thing works. It may never go away, though, without something.
So
but it's not uncommon. It's not an uncommon problem.
So it sounds as if I need to resort to the politics of junior high school.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's about the level of most dogs, I would say. They're not... But, yeah, and I've done that. We have puppies right now. They're from different litters. They're a little different ages, but the younger one is just a brat, you know. And
mm-hmm.
He didn't like us, and he didn't need us. And so we just—
Oh, is this a little singleton?
Yeah, the little singleton guy. And so we took the older puppy and just, here's a toy, and play, play, play. And for about 2 or 3 days, he watched us do this. And every time, then he started coming up, we said, get away from us. We don't like you. And, boy, that if you want a dog to really fawn over you, tell him you don't like, get away, leave me alone. I'm having fun with this other dog. Boy, that just drives him nuts. And it worked, so try that.
Call us back next month.
We'll give it a shot. Thank you.
Okay, good luck. Let's talk with another listener. Caller in Urbana, line 3. Hi.
Hi there. The guy with the neighbor's problem sparked me to call. I don't know. I don't think I have neighbor problems.
Oh, you're not the neighbor?
No, I'm not the neighbor.
No, that's honest,
not me.
I thought that's
Jim
was right ready
now
to hang up on you if you were.
Yeah, no. We had new neighbors move in about a year ago now, and they've got, I'm not sure, I think they started out with 4 dogs and now they have 3. And they're mostly inside, but they actually can go in and out as they choose. And every time we're in our backyard to do anything, they bark and bark and bark at us. And, you know, they bark an awful lot anyway, and truthfully, it doesn't bother me that much. Like I said, I used to have dogs, but when I'm in my own backyard and they're not just barking, they're barking at me, it gets a little bit annoying. And I haven't actually talked to them about it. We're on fairly good terms, but not really very close. And I wonder if that scattering kibbles thing would help with barking. I've I thought I'd made friends with the dogs when I've been over there. They've been happy to see me, but when we're out in our backyard, they just don't stop barking at us.
Doesn't that bother the people that own them? That would drive me. Doesn't that bother the people that own them? That would put me over the edge.
Well, I hear them saying be quiet a lot, but it doesn't
work.
Maybe the dogs are Dutch and don't understand English.
That could be, yeah, I suppose. One of them looks maybe Australian. Maybe some
Australian, there you go. No one can understand them.
I think that suggestion of scattering the
food. You've got to train a dog to be quiet. You can't just say be quiet, so that ain't going to work. Yeah, scattering food is an old standard thing.
Mm-hmm. But then they, you know, see them out in the backyard. That means food. They won't bark. They'll be too busy.
Yeah, it might cause fights among them, but you don't care. They're not your dogs.
You know, that's why there were four ones.
That's right, yeah. One of them got killed. Yeah, I would try that anyway. And as I say, you don't make a secret about it. Say, look at this tasty, delicious food. You know, look. And then throw it where they can see that you're throwing it.
Uh-huh. The next time they'll come out and ask me to give them food. Bark, bark, bark.
Well,
that's a possibility.
It's a real problem because...
But they're barking already, so it's okay.
Right.
You know, and one handful scattered properly can last all day. I mean, it take them time to find these things.
Uh-huh.
The other thing is the old people really think they're clever, you know, when a dog will chase a ball or something. Sometimes, and it's mostly males, will pretend to throw.
Why do you see mostly males? Do you ever see women fake a dog out like that?
It's just to show how much smarter you are than the dog. You could fake throwing the food, and that would probably be just as good.
Because, then she's going to have psychotic dogs next
door. They're going to be running over looking.
To save on money, I could throw a handful of food about every fourth time, and the rest of the time I'll throw a handful
sure.
of gravel.
Or, you know, you can trap squirrels and throw them in there. Whatever will keep the dog occupied. But the cheapest and the best thing is to throw. It's hard to catch. Don't do this with squirrels. We're going to get letters from people.
Well, I thought to begin with that, you know, well, they're in a strange place. This isn't the yard they're used to. And, you know, so that they're nervous. But they've been at it for about a year now.
Barking,
and it's still happening.
For a dog, barking doesn't just mean danger or anything. They could just be talking to you, you know, saying, come on over and play with us. We're
Call
having fun.
WILL and get some good ideas on how to keep us happy. That's what they've been saying.
It's not necessarily that they're guarding at that moment, especially. Yeah. And so it's you always have to listen to the dog and say, well, what's it saying when they bark? So it could just be excitement.
They could be happy to see them out.
They're happy to see you. You know, we don't like our owners. We like you. Come help us. Come over here and save us.
And don't throw gravel.
Not at them, certainly.
Quit throwing gravel.
Probably not a good idea in the grass anyway. No, I've gone over and greeted them at the fence and, you know, lick my hands. We've got chain link between us. And you know, they're happy to see. But then, you know, I turn around, I'm doing something in my yard, and then they're barking again.
Yeah, barking is barking, but what they mean by it, I don't think they're mad at you or anything.
Uh-huh.
They want her to come back?
They want you to come back, you know.
Maybe.
And, but the throwing the food and see how it works. As I said, I knew about this technique a long time ago. I haven't said it recently because I forgot about it, and then I read it again, and I went, you know, that would work for a lot of things.
Sounds like a good one. All right, thank you so much.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Actually, it was for dogs that dig in the backyard.
Well, I have to tell you this, not to shoot your theory, but I did that with Robbie when I was teaching him to go out into the yard. I'd scatter the food, and he'd paw looking for food. And I had to replace almost the entire yard a year later because what he'd do every time he went out was say, I found some kibble out here once, and he'd paw and sniff and dig.
Well, see, this is the neighbor's yard. You really don't care.
That's right. I forgot.
You don't care about it. You know? And what will happen is the neighbors will go, those dogs are digging again. We're going to have to get rid of them.
We'll have to move.
Yeah, we'll have to move. And so the neighbors will be happy in any event. Yeah. Or, you know, the people that called in will be happy.
Anything we should mention in the way of activities that are coming up for
Agility Trial, July 17th and 18th.
And where will that be?
At our dog training club facility on Ford Harris Road in Route 45. And there's something the following weekend. What is it? I don't know. I think it must be something personal. For me.
Okay.
The Wisconsin Malamute Club picnic is next weekend.
Very good. Okay.
At Bev's.
To keep up with activities. To keep up with the activities at
our website.
Right, at the Champaign-Urbana, the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Go to the
classes
website.
Just started. We're full. We're having fun. The grounds are beautiful. Great place.
Yeah.
And we almost had a wedding there.
Really?
Yes, one of our members.
Yeah. Instead, they had it in the cornfield. We just missed it.
You know, she wanted to
100 feet
get
over,
married
we
at our
it.
Dog training club, and I thought that was like the coolest thing on the planet, but her mom didn't think the scenery was good enough.
her mother said she couldn't do it.
My mom said
it would have been the first okay. event of such kind.
Well, thanks for joining us. We'll see you in August.
Oh, God, I don't want to think that it's going to be August.
Okay, very good. Well, have a great holiday weekend.
We will. Thank you, Celeste.
Give those dogs a big, big hug for all of us. Okay.
We'll do.
Then you get covered with dog spit.
Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel, they join us on the first Friday of the month to answer our questions about dog care training and behavior. They are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. 8 minutes before 2 o'clock, settlement prices should be in from the Chicago Board of Trade, and I think with the numbers today, Dave Dickey.
Actually, that would be Tom Rogers.
Tom Rogers. Okay,
you're
Tom.
You're in Studio A. Thanks a lot, Celeste. And we'll get back to you for the mercantile numbers. Board of Trade today, wheat finishing up on some short covering. The corn contract and the beans, though, pressured by weather, although the nearby bean contracts, again, finishing up on the day on tight demand. The July wheat had a high today of 335, the low 328, settlement at 335, up 4.5 cents. September at 344, the high, the low price 336.5. It settled at 341.5, up 3 on the day. December wheat, a high of 355.25, the low 349, settled at 354, up 3. March wheat for next year, the high 365.25, the low 360, settled at 362.5, up 1.75. And the May wheat at 369 for the high today, marked a low of 364.5, the settlement 365.5, up 1.5. Over in corn, the July contract had a high today of 256.75, the low 255, settlement at 255.25, just off the low, down 2.25 cents on the day. September had a high of 261.25, the low 258.25, settled 259.25, down 3.75 cents. December corn, the high 265.25, the low 262.25, 263, the settlement, down 4.25. March corn at 272.25 for the high today, 269.5, the low, and the settlement at 270, down 4.25. May corn for next year, the high 277.25, the low 275, settled 275.25, down 4.5. And July corn, the far side contract had a high today of 281, a low of 278, settled just above that at 278.5, down 4. July oats had a high today of 132.5, went down to 131 for the low, settlement 131.25, down 1.75. September oats had a high of 138, a low of 135, settled at 135.25, down 3.5. Now to the beans, the nearby contracts finishing up. The July had a high of 947, the low 930, settled at 939.5. That was up 6 on the day. August had a high of 817, the low 801.5. The settlement 809.25, up 5.5 cents. Rest of the table down, though. September beans, the high 706, the low 688.5. The settlement at 688.75, down 8. November, the high 669, the low 650.5, settled at 652.25. That'd be 669 for the high, actually, not 689. It was down on the day, 15.25 cents. January beans, the high today 672, the low 654, settled at 657.5, down 11.5 cents. And March beans for next year, the high 672, the low 654, settled again identically at 657.5, identical to January, down 11.5 cents. In the products, July soybean meal had a high today of 316.50, the low 311.50, settlement at 314.20, up 4.70. August meal had a high of 284, the low 278.20 rather, settled at 280.10. That was up 40. July soybean oil had a high of 28.80, the low 28.01, settled at the high 28.80, up 49 cents on the day. August oil, the high 27.92, the low 27.25, settled at 27.90, up 36. Settlement figures now from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Here's Celeste.
Thanks, Tom. Mostly higher day today on the Mercantile Exchange, although a couple of the feeder contracts Feeder cattle contracts finished unchanged. August feeder cattle, 108.80 the high, 107.60 the low, 108.40 the settlement, unchanged. September, 107.90 the high, 106.70 the low, 107.80 the settlement, that unchanged. October feeder cattle, 106 even the high, 104.75 the low, 105.97.5 the settlement, that up 17.5. August live cattle, 85.72.5 the high, 84.90 the low, 85.32.5 the settlement, that up a nickel. And October live cattle, today's high 86.80, the low 86.10, the settlement 86.40, that down 32.5. July lean hog 79.30, the high 78.75, the low 79.12.5, the settlement that up 37.5. August 77.30, the high 76.12.5, the low 76.92.5, the settlement that up 55. October 67.20 the high, 66.20 the low, 67.15 the settlement, that up 92.5. December lean hog 62 even the high, 61.25 the low, 61.95 the settlement, that up 72.5. July bellies 113.45 the high, the low 112, the settlement 112.45, that down 102.5. The Dow is down 53 points at 10,281. The S&P 500 down 4 at 1,124. And the NASDAQ is down 9 points at 2,006.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety is proud to underwrite agricultural programming on WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
It's time once again to Ask Dr. Science. So let's ask Dr. Science.
That's me.
Remember, he knows more than you do.
That's right.
Susie Kanich from Cottage Grove, Oregon writes to ask, Dear Dr. Science, do snakes get poison oak? If so, how do they scratch it?
Snakes are actually weasels that have lost all their fur, arms, and legs to intense poison oak rashes. Science knows this because snakes and poison oak both evolved at the same time, which was roughly concurrent with the disappearance of the dinosaurs. In fact, one theory has it that poison oak was fatal to dinosaurs. Another holds that dinosaurs were grossed out by hairless weasel torsos and simply lost the will to live. Personally, I favor the latter theory because it's a prime example of the pot calling the kettle black. To my way of thinking, dinosaurs, like all reptiles, are vile, disgusting things for whom extinction came as a gift. Wish the same had happened to snakes and poison oak, for that matter.
Thank you, Dr. Science. Send your science questions to Ask Dr. Science. Remember, he's not a real doctor.
I have a master's degree
in science.
Produced by Duck's Breath and distributed by PRI, Public Radio International. For information about the new...